He knew where he was going as soon as he saw it. A small shop on the corner of 2nd and 46th. Yeah, he thought. A feeling of great relief swept through him. This is the place. The very place. The window was full of hanging meats and cheeses. Tom and Jerry's Artistic Deli, the sign read. Party platters are specialty. As he stood looking in, someone else he knew came around the corner. It was Jack Andolini, wearing a three-piece suit the color of vanilla ice cream and carrying a black cane in his left hand. Half of his face was gone, lopped off by the claws of the lobstrosities. "Go on in, Eddie," Jack said as he passed. "After all, there are other worlds than these, and that fucking train rolls through all of them." "I can't," Eddie replied. "The door is locked." He didn't know how he knew this, but he did. Knew it beyond a shadow of a doubt. "Dada chum dada chi, not to worry, you've got the key," Jack said, not looking back. Eddie looked down and saw he did have a key. A primitive-looking thing with three notches like inverted V's. "That little S-shape at the end of the last notch is the secret," he thought. He stepped under the awning of Tom and Jerry's Artistic Deli and inserted the key in the lock. It turned easily. He opened the door and stepped through into a huge open field. He looked back over his shoulder and saw the traffic on 2nd Avenue hurrying by, and then the door slammed shut and fell over. There was nothing behind it. Nothing at all. He turned back to survey his new surroundings, and what he saw filled him with terror at first. The field was a deep scarlet, as if some titanic battle had been fought here, and the ground had been drenched with so much blood that it could not all be absorbed. Then he realized that it was not blood he was looking at, but roses. That feeling of mingled joy and triumph surged through him again, swelling his heart until he felt it might burst within him. He raised his clenched fists high over his head in a gesture of victory, and then froze that way. The field stretched on for miles, climbing a gentle slope of land, and standing at the horizon was the Dark Tower. It was a pillar of dumb stone, rising so high into the sky that he could barely discern its tip. Its base, surrounded by red, shouting roses, was formidable, titanic with weight and size. Yet the tower became oddly graceful as it rose and tapered. The stone of which it had been made was not black, as he had imagined it would be, but soot-colored. Narrow, slitted windows marched about it in a rising spiral. Below the windows ran an almost endless flight of stone stairs, circling up and up. The tower was a dark gray exclamation point, planted in the earth and rising above the field of blood-red roses. The sky arched above it was blue, but filled with puffy white clouds like sailing ships. They flowed above and around the top of the dark tower in an endless stream. "How gorgeous it is," Eddie marveled. "How gorgeous and strange." But his feeling of joy and triumph had departed. He was left with a sense of deep malaise and impending doom. He looked about him and realized with sudden horror that he was standing in the shadow of the tower. No, not just standing in it. Buried alive in it. He cried out, but his cry was lost in the golden blast of some tremendous horn. It came from the top of the tower and seemed to fill the world. As that note of warning held and drew out over the field where he stood, blackness welled from the windows which girdled the tower. It overspilled them and spread across the sky in flaggy streams which came together and formed a growing blotch of darkness. It did not look like a cloud. It looked like a tumor hanging over the earth. The sky was blotted out. And he saw it was not a cloud or a tumor, but a shape, some tenebrous cyclopean shape racing toward the place where he stood. It would do no good to run from that beast coalescing in the sky above the field of roses. It would catch him, clutch him, and bear him away. Into the dark tower it would bear him, and the world of light would see him no more. Rents formed in the darkness, and terrible, inhuman eyes, each easily the size of the bear Shardik which lay dead in the forest, peered down at him. They were red, red as roses, red as blood.